Hello, bonjour. I'm Graham DeClaire here on Radio Liberty, Rebreck, 96.1 FM. Welcome along to Britbreak, my own weekly radio slot dedicated to and directed at all of us living, working, or just visiting this area who aren't French but are here because we want to be. Last week I skimmed the lake under which lie hundreds, if not thousands, of French words ready to come to the surface to be used by us Brits because they are, in essence, almost identical to their English counterparts. Now, you could start this conversation by translating lake into lac, but I guess that's kind of obvious. But the similarity between the two words is worth pointing out nonetheless. From water to land. And a couple of days back, I returned from a weekend in an English village set in picture postcard countryside. This tiny village church was Norman, perhaps with Anglo-Saxon beginnings. In pride of place inside was a font. There's evidence that it was built sometime in the 11th and 12th centuries. I peered down at the inscription and lettering running around the font's stonework, the words all in Latin. I sat in silence with the afternoon sun filling this ancient beautiful place, imagining that someone else was probably sitting in the same place more or less some 8 or 9 centuries ago. That person more than likely would have been a peasant or serf, and they would have been staring up at the pulpit and listening to a member of the clergy, probably a monk perhaps, speaking both in Latin and in French. Because of the absence of literacy, not a lot would have been understood from the Sunday sermon, but gradually, of course, the ordinary folk in that church, as in the British Isles, developed the use of English, directly absorbing elements of the Norman conquest, and so, by default and design, absorbing the French language and making it in turn English. Now that tiny church I sat in last weekend would already have been a hub in the community in the 1150s and the 1170s, during the reign of Henry II. This English king spoke French, and if he didn't speak French, he spoke Latin. His rule extended right down to the Loire and on to the Pyrenees. Henry is probably best remembered for getting his own Archbishop of Canterbury murdered on his own altar. More than this, he married Eleanor of Aquitaine, but apparently this union was not a great success, and everybody fell out with everybody else, with Eleanor scheming and plotting from her court in Poitiers. So, here's Henry II speaking French and very rarely coming back to England, his wife spitting blood at her errant husband, and all of this, more or less, being a good old carry-on here in this area. Now, I'm not sure this royal argy-bargy ever came anywhere near Rebreck, but Poitiers is only a couple of hours up the road and just one stop from Angoulême on the TGV to Paris today. Now, I say this to serve the notion as to why so many of us settle here in the Dordogne or hereabouts. And I think it's actually in our historical DNA. History can either help or hinder, but here's the thing. Henry's eldest son was Richard I. Now, whatever your social or political persuasions, Richard I has become an emblem of Englishness, a red cross emblazoned on his chest and used to going on a couple of crusades before breakfast. But the truth is stranger than fiction. Richard only spoke French and thought of England as just a place to squeeze, extort and extract as much money as possible to fuel his evangelical zeal, conquering faraway lands. Now look, I'm not a big fan about moving historical allusions from one age to another, and some say history is a heap of myths made up to look like facts. But here's one, again, really relevant to us living in this particular area, that made me sit up and pay attention. Since school days, I had thought Richard the Lionheart died romantically, swishing his sword in the desert sands of Araby. But actually, he met his end just around the corner, well, kind of, up near Limoges, trying to take the castle at Chaloux. So, in a kind of way, you and I are right now living in a region rich in the illusion of important historical Anglo-French relations. Which means what exactly? Well, I think it's a help in every way to know that where we are geographically is where the English came, saw, and, well, sort of conquered, for a short while anyway. Now, if you have a view, or if you want to correct Professor Graham's history lesson this morning, you can do this by leaving a message for me on 0-820-6903-24. You can express a view on the Radio Liberty webpage, or you can make contact directly with me on my own Graham Declare Radio Liberty Rebrac FM Facebook page. Now, if history teaches us anything, it's that, well, life's for living, and music makes it more fun. So, get out and about tonight and see Zone 51 play in a soirée américaine in Vertiac, or take your tractor to a terre en fête this Saturday and Sunday in Vincennes. This is a young farmer's bash and runs all over the weekend, where there are bands, stands, food produce, and pretty much a good time guaranteed for all. In much the same vein, there's also a farmer's market in Montignac-le-Coq tomorrow, starting in the afternoon and ending in the evening with a free concert. I don't actually know the type of music they play, but clichés apart, it should be a real old hoedown. It brings to mind, rather bizarrely, the last time I saw Bob Dylan live. He was wearing a straw hat with feathers and sitting on what looked like a couple of hay bales, which may or may not have been amplifiers in disguise. So let's put down the rake and spade and touch a forelock. Until next week, I'm going to play out with the late, great Robbie Robinson, a lifelong confidant and contributor with Mr. Dylan, with his own mysterious and rather beguiling song, Somewhere Down the Crazy River. Voodoo or Cajun music aside, I'm still Graham Declare. And for me and my producer, Jeff, we say, a plus. Take care, and we'll both see you next time here on Radio Liberty Rebreak on 96.1 FM.
Yeah, I can see it now. The distant red neon shivered in the heat. I was feeling like a stranger in a strange land. You know where people play games with the night. God, it was too hot to sleep. I followed the sound of a jukebox coming from up the levee. All of a sudden I could hear somebody whistling from right behind me. I turned around and she said, "Why do you always end up down at Nick's Cafe?" I said, I don't know. The wind just kind of pushed me this way. She said, "Hang the rich." Thank you. no, I like it. I like it, it's good. She said, you like it now, but you'll learn to love it later.